Boker Tov, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome to our Torah study today, our Aliyah today. We're in Parasha Vayetze again, looking at this journey of Yaakov Avinu as he's making his journey towards exile. Ultimately, his goal is to acquire a wife. As many of us know from the story, he ends up with four wives, ultimately, which becomes for him a distress. They end up being four sisters. Of course, Leah, Rachel, Zilpah, and Bilhah. They're all four of them are sisters. Rachel and Leah have the same mother and father. Zilpah and Bilhah have the same father, but different mothers than Rachel and Leah. But they are all, in fact, sisters. Which is interesting. Leah, of course, amongst all of them, is the most righteous, the most holy. And as a result, she ends up giving birth to half of the tribes of Israel. She has six of the 12 sons. And Hashem richly blessed her. But we've been dealing here with this vision of Yaakov on Mount Moriah. There's so many different insights. Every year we just kind of don't get a lot of opportunity to spend time looking at each insight because there's just not enough time on the Aliyah to do that. So I wanted to spend this parasha looking at each insight. I want to begin, though, with looking a little bit ahead, and there is a question that comes up quite often in people's minds, and it's just the reason for this question, and the question is, are we Jews or not? People are reluctant to be called a Jew. So I want to just spend a few minutes here explaining the root cause of that and maybe some other things about it that are psychological and spiritual, and then repeat myself as far as what I've said in the times past regarding this concept before we get into some other insights here. First and foremost, people that are reluctant, they don't want to be Jewish, right? They don't want to be a Jew. Some people have been taught that you can't be Jewish because they think that erroneously that being Jewish is a race. We talked about this earlier in the week. Judaism, Jewishness is not a race. Is there such thing as, quote, Jewish DNA? Well, yeah, because, you know, it's possible for your DNA to match European Jewry or Sephardic Jewry or what have you, but is being Jewish a race? Are we blonde hair, blue eyed? Are we brown hair, brown eyed? Are we white? The answer, of course, is emphatically no. Being Jewish is not a race. Jews are not white people. They're not brown people either. In fact, you can be Jewish and you can literally be any race. And there are, in fact, Jews from every race. There are Asian Jews, yes. There are certainly black Jews, you know, whether they be the Bantu people or the Ethiopian or whatever, okay? Doesn't really matter. There are obviously white Jewish people. There are... Have I left somebody out yet? Did I say Hispanic? Brown? Brown? I mean, come on. The epicenter of Judaism for hundreds of years was Spain. There are millions of Jews in Mexico and South America. So we're not limited to a race by any stretch of the imagination. Jewish people in the Caribbean, of course. So we're everywhere. So Judaism is not a race. And anybody can become Jewish. conversion to Judaism is not only, and I want to emphasize this, as if you've been around any length of time, you've heard me say this, you know, scores of times, but conversion to Judaism is not only possible, it is fundamental, and in fact, critically necessary. Every one of the matriarchs, every one of them, were converts to Judaism. In fact, there's an insight here that talks about the time period, why there was such a long waiting period between the time that Jacob had planned to marry Rachel and the fact that he finally married her, or he thought he was marrying her. He ends up marrying Leah, of course, but why was he willing to wait so long to begin with? And the answer was because he knew that this woman, in his mind, this woman was going to become the mother of his children, and these would have to be Jewish children, of course, that would carry on the covenant of Abraham. And knowing that she came from a house of idolatry, he figured it would take her that long to really embrace Judaism. In other words, she had to convert to, you know, becoming a Jewess. It is against Torah law for a Jewish man to marry a non-Jewish woman, period. It's a significant violation of Torah law, actually, and the marriage is not considered legitimate. I'm talking here, you know, religiously, right? I'm not suggesting that if you're married out there that you don't have a legitimate marriage. That's civil law, right? That has to do with the civil courts and so on. I'm talking here religiously. Your marriage is not, you know, that marriage would not be valid. And the children from that marriage would not be valid in as much as the children are not Jewish. So if you have a Jewish man who's married to a non-Jewish woman, he does not have Jewish kids. Okay. According to Torah law, as it's been brought down for thousands of years. So therefore, all that to say that these women had to convert to Judaism. So all four of the matriarchs, to include Bilhah and Zilpah, are all converts. Abraham himself is a convert. And Jethro is a convert. And of course, Ruth is a convert. There's an erroneous teaching that Ruth never converted to Judaism. Well, friends, if that's true, then she could not have married Boaz, which means that the marriage would have been illegitimate, which means that all of her children, God forbid, Obed would have been illegitimate, Jesse would have been illegitimate, David would have been illegitimate, which means that Messiah would have been illegitimate, which means that he wouldn't be Messiah, which means he wouldn't be anything, right? So it's people have said that. So people have been led to believe you can't be Jewish unless you're born into it. And that is an absolute fallacy. It is completely contrary to 3,000 years of Jewish thought. Absolutely. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, why are people taught that, by the way? Like, why? When I say people, I'm talking about believers in Messiah Yeshua. Well, they're taught that because, to the believer these days, to the Christian person / messianic, the scriptures really, to them, are really Paul's letters, ultimately. And all the other, everything else is supposed to back up what Paul says. I mean, really, if you get down to it, if you're just honest with yourself, and, you know, if they are honest with themselves, is that proper English? I don't know. But whatever. If they're honest with themselves, they would say, yeah, I'm at the end of the day, I plant my flag on the quote-unquote scripture, big air quotes, of Ephesians or Colossians or Galatians or whatever, and everything else just has to back that up. And so, according to them, the Apostle Paul seems to believe in the idea of Messianic Gentiles, and so therefore anything that contradicts that idea has to be, of course, altered, changed, made right to fit that model. So that's why. That's what it happens, right? And oftentimes it's quote that the, again, air quotes, scripture verse from Paul's letters that say, hey, when you come to Messiah, remain as you are. People say, look, if you're a Gentile, remain as you are. Of course, in that same passage, it also references, you know, people who are single. And as far last time I checked, in these congregations, they still perform marriages, which would be a violation of their, again, air quotes, scripture to remain as you are when you come to Messiah. So if we follow that, then you'd have to say, well, if you come to Messiah and you're single, guess what? You earn the badge of being single for the rest of your life. Mazel tov. Of course, that's absurd and nobody follows that, which presents an inconsistency. So there's that. What's the other reason? What's another reason? Another reason that people don't want to be Jewish is because it's a soft anti-Semitism that they, 9 times out of 10, don't even realize they have. You don't want to become a Jew because you just don't want to be Jewish. Ugh. Gross. Nobody wants the Jewish cooties. And this comes from, frankly, thousands of years of brainwashing that somehow the Jews killed Christ, rejected Christ, they're bad, Pharisees bad, Gentile good, ugh. This is where this comes from. It's just a bunch of nonsense that people, has been ingrained in people, and they don't even realize they have it, right? You know, and they don't want to be Jewish. And of course, we've said before, and it's, the Bible is the, you know, the Bible of the God of Israel, and the scriptures are written in Hebrew, and all of our heroes are Jewish, and the Messiah is Jewish and practiced Judaism, and everybody else practiced Judaism, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't want to be Jewish. It's kind of crazy. So people say, well, you know, they had this idea then also that if you are Jewish, then that means you're literally from the tribe of Judah. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not true either. Now, it is true that the term Jew comes from Yehudi, okay, from Judah, the tribe of Judah. That's true. That's where that term originates. But it is not true, and it has never been true, that only Jews are from Judah and everybody else is something else, okay? You know, it's like, and of course, who believes that? The people who teach that and believe that are Gentiles. So when you go to med school, nothing against plumbers. They're awesome and we need them and God, thank God for them. However, when you go to med school, you don't have a plumber who's the professor, a master plumber. You know what? When you go to plumbing school, you don't have a medical doctor who's teaching plumbing either. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if you're going to go to culinary school, right? You probably don't want an accountant to be your iron chef up there trying to teach you what to do, right? I mean, right. So why people go to Gentiles to learn about Judaism blows my mind. I don't really get that, but there's that. So people that teach that stuff, it does, none of that comes from Judaism. You will never find a legitimate Jewish source that says, legitimate meaning that they're actually Jews who practice Judaism. You'll never find one that suggests that nonsense, because it's just not true. Because if that, because they say, well, you know, you're Jewish if you come from Judah, but everybody else is Israel. What? Well, how come you're not an Asherite if you come from Asher? Asher. How come you're not a Issacharite if you come from Issachar? Why are you Israel? Right? So Israel, Hebrew, and Jewish are actually all synonymous terms, and Jews have been called Jews universally since forever. Actually, if you look at the Talmud and Midrash and every other Jewish source, you'll find that Jews have always been called Jews no matter what tribe they came from, which is why Mordecai, the Jew, was from the tribe of Benjamin, but yet still called a Jew. Now, why is this? Well, if we look at our insight about the birth of Judah, Leah, who's the mother of Judah, okay, it says she called his name Judah. All right? This is where the term Jew naturally comes from. It says, later on, the name of his tribe will serve to designate all of Jacob's descendants who will be called Yehudim or Jews. So the insight here is telling us that every Israelite, every Hebrew are going to be called Jews. Why? Ultimately, because from Judah comes the king of Israel. And so to be called a Jew is to be connected with the king of Israel from Judah. Now, I mentioned the theological reasons. I mentioned the psychological reasons why people don't want to be Jewish. I mentioned the I guess you'd call it social bias, you know, the racism, the soft anti-Semitism, the reason people don't want to be called Jews. But there's also a deeply intrinsic spiritual reason. And it seems kind of strange, right? Because on the one hand, you have people who are believers, but don't want to be Jews. They want to remain, you know, non-Jewish. And then even when they come into the Torah, they want to remain, quote, Messianic Jew, which is an oxymoron term. It literally is an oxymoron. It's like saying covenant, non-covenant. I'm not in the covenant that I'm in. That's literally that phrase, like Messianic implies in the covenant of Israel. Gentile absolutely means not in the covenant of Israel. So you got two terms that are offsetting. In the covenant, not in the covenant. That's literally what Messianic Gentile means. You could say Jewish pagan. That's, again, literal definitions. So that term pits itself against itself. Why? Well, oddly, to be a Jew is to confess, to say I am a Jew is to confess that I am directly connected to the throne of David. To say I am not a Jew is to confess that I am not connected to the throne of David. Ladies and gentlemen, that is literally what it means. So here you have a bunch of people running around saying, I'm not Jewish, but I'm a believer. Again, because the theology has become so confused, people end up denying the Messiah they're trying to accept. It's like this. Let me give you another example of how this happens. A lot of people who believe in the Messiah do not eat kosher. In fact, they consider not eating kosher to be actually a virtue and proof of your belief in the Jewish Messiah, which of course is absurd. But putting that aside, at the same time, they say the Messiah is absolutely sinless. He never violated the Torah. Now, the people who reject the Messiah say, well, he's not the Messiah because he did reject the Torah, which is the definition of sin. To break the Torah, any law of the Torah, is to sin, which would make the person a sinner. And so on the one hand, believers say the Messiah absolutely is not a sinner. He did not violate the Torah, while on the other hand, teaching that he constantly and continuously told people to violate the Torah, which is actually the worst of the sins, because to break the Torah yourself is one thing. To teach others to do the same is something even worse. So you're kind of making their argument for them. And one of the principal ways that believers do that is when they say, Jesus made all foods clean. Now, to the believer, that's a rah-rah pep rally, clap the hands, fist bump. Isn't that awesome? To the person who doesn't believe in him and says, well, this guy is just a lawbreaker, you've just made their argument for them. First of all, Jesus has only been around for 400 years, so he never said anything. But Yeshua never said he made all foods clean. That is not at all ever anything he literally said. It's a complete myth. Okay, number one. But if you say that Yeshua made all food clean, he just eliminated the kosher laws, you've just admitted that he's not the Messiah. And at the same time, you're excited about the fact that he allegedly said that so that you can eat whatever you want. And then that awesome. But you've just declared emphatically, with no uncertain terms, that he is most definitely not Hasveh Shalom, the Messiah of Israel. 100% no way. Why? Because he just violated two whole chapters of Torah, which makes him a sinner, which makes him ineligible to be in atonement, which is exactly the argument that Jews make, because you've said what you've told them what he's told you, which is to break Torah, which is exactly the opposite of what the Messiah would say. So they're just believing what you say and telling you what they think based on what you told them. I say you euphemistically, probably not you who are watching, but it may be. Maybe if somebody's here watching here says, yeah, the Messiah made all foods clean, and that's awesome. Yeah, well, you just denied him. You see what I mean? So we say stuff like this, and we mean well, and we're enthusiastic about it. We don't know what we're saying. Like, we don't, because no one's told it. No one's been, frankly, this blunt. No one's ever told you this. You're not going to hear it in a messianic congregation. You're just not, because, you know, for a whole host of reasons. So, to be Jewish is to be connected with the throne of David. And a lot of times we say, I'm not a Jew, and just the example I just gave, we unwittingly disconnect ourselves from the throne of David while trying to be connected to the throne of David. And no, it's not okay to say what doesn't matter. And that's the other thing. People say, it doesn't matter. God knows my heart. Don't ever say that. Please stop. Because it does matter. Words mean things. You know, it's like this. On the one hand, we say, there's one name given among men whereby we must be saved. On the other hand, we say, it doesn't matter what you call him. Think about that. Think that through for a second. It's a complete contradiction, is it not? On the one hand, there's one name. And then people go around saying, there's one way. If you don't go this way, you're going to hell, baby. And on the other hand, we're like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. We're talking out of both sides of our mouth. And all I'm trying to say is we've got to figure out what we believe. Either is there one name or is there like a bunch of names? Right? Again, to use another example, it's confusing. We wonder why people don't believe. Because on one hand, we're like, there's one name. But you can call him whatever you want to call him. Okay, so which name is it? Well, they're all the same. They're just different. Right? Right? I was thinking the exact same thing, just differently. When I say that statement, everybody kind of laughs, you know? But that's exactly what I just said, isn't it? Right. Is this okay? You're okay? Right. Okay. I don't know. Sometimes I just talk and I don't know if it's... Are you understanding the words that are coming out of my mouth? So it says, in the name Yehuda, right, we have the ineffable name of God. Okay, so within the tribe of Judah, what's unique about that name is that within that name is the entire Yudke Vavke name of God, with only one addition, which is the Dalet. Okay. The word Dalet, by the way, the word Dalet is how you say puerto. It's how you say door. So, you know, within Yehuda is the door, which is Messiah, which is to be called a Jew is to be connected with the throne of David, which is to be connected with Messiah. So if you say, I'm not a Jew, I don't want to be a Jew, I'm going to be in the covenant, but I'm going to be a non-Jew, that's like saying, I'm going to be in the covenant, but not connected to the Messiah. You see, and all this stuff, by the way, is not complicated. To understand what I'm telling you right now does not require a theological degree. It just requires common sense and just looking at it and going, how about that? If I want to be connected to the king, I share the king's name. Hey, there's a good example. Like, we just had a wonderful wedding here at Sar Shalom. Amy and Jason Fick. Prior, Amy was Amy Darrington. Today, she's Amy Fick. She took her husband's last name. Why? Because she joined him in covenant. So now she's Amy Fick. No longer Amy Darrington. So when you come into covenant with the living God and go through the ceremony, you become, you know, Joe Jew, Susie Jew, right? You see? No need to hyphenate. Just join. So it says, in the name Yehuda is the ineffable name of God. The Jewish destiny is forever linked, therefore, to the divine name. That's another thing. So to be called a Jew is to be linked with the throne of David, to be linked with the Messiah, and to be linked with the Yudke Vavke. It's the only tribe that has the Yudke Vavke in it. So you say, I don't want to be a Jew. Well, you're also saying, again, unwittingly, we know when I say you're saying this, what I mean is you don't know what you're saying. And to quote G.I. Joe, now you know and knowing's half the battle. What you're unwittingly saying is, I don't want to be connected to the divine name. And that is, how do we say it in French? Bad. Their destiny is forever linked to the divine name, and this destiny will be fulfilled when the Messiah from the tribe of Judah causes a name which is engraved in their own to be worshipped by all men and by all nations. So if you're not a Jew, then you are disconnected from everything that is represented by the tribe of Judah, which is the throne of David, the divine name, the Messiah, royalty. I mean, this is just the reality of life. And people are accustomed to say, well, you know, I'm not a Jew. I'm a non-Jew. And again, we've gone over the reasons why people think that. They're all erroneous and they're all needless. They're not necessary. Messiah said that in Luke chapter 10, he says, I'm going to call people who are not yet my people. And there's going to be one flock and one shepherd. One flock and one shepherd. The current theology, as expressed in all the different veins that I've mentioned, teaches that there's two flocks and one shepherd. He kind of spends half his time between the two. He has one flock of non-Jews, and he has a set of rules for them. And then there's another flock of Jews, and he's got rules for them. So we teach that, right? We say, yeah, that's it. If you're Jewish, you do this. If you're not Jewish, you do this. And then we'll turn around and tell people, but there's only one way to the Father. What? You see how confusing that is? Like, non-Jews should live this way, and Jews should live this way, but yet there's only one way to the Father. Yeah, you see, it's like confusion. And then we'll say but the Lord is not the author of confusion. So we got to figure it out. And it's so simple. See, this other way is just simple, right? It's just simple. There is, in fact, one way. Which, by the way, one, as I mentioned earlier, that one of the definitions of Torah is brought down by Rabbi Twersky is the way. Isn't this simple? There is a way. It's called the way of Torah, true Judaism in Yeshua. That's the way. And it's simple. We're all doing the same thing together. You see, it's simple. It's easy. We don't have to, it doesn't require theological gymnastics. We don't have to overthink it. We just join the covenant, everybody together. We all get to sit at the same table. We eat the same meal. There's not two different flocks. It's one flock, one shepherd. That's what Yeshua said. So you see, that's why we're all Jews. Today's class is about why we're all called Jews. Hopefully it's helpful. I think it's helpful because the other way keeps us in a state of confusion. We don't, should we do this holiday? Should we not do this holiday? Should we live this way, not live that way? What does God want me to do? And it's real. He wants us to know His will. And His will, by the way, is the Torah. What's the will of God for my life? The good news is He wrote it down for you. You don't have to ask. He wrote it down for you. So may this be an inspirational teaching for all of us. And you know what? I mention anti-Semitism a lot, and people bristle at that usually. I've said this so many times. People like, but I'm not a Nazi. You can be anti-Semitic without being a Nazi, just like you can be racially prejudiced without being a Black Panther or a member of the KKK. Okay? It's possible to have prejudice without being extreme in those prejudices. And when it comes to anti-Semitism, my contention is, because it's true, it was true for me too, my contention is if you've come vis-a-vis Christianity, and no offense, I mean, Christianity, I mean, within Christianity, there's lots of great people who love God, okay, and were really sincere. And it's also true that the church fathers, and yes, they were Christians. Remember what I said about that yesterday? Please don't use the, well, they weren't real Christians. Please don't do that. It's mentally insulting. They were extremely anti-Semitic. What's the guy's name? Luther, who's considered basically the father of Protestantism, was an Adolf Hitler. He's terrible. So what happens is that this spiritual DNA is passed down to the children. And so my point is that it's kind of natural to have anti-Semitic feelings when you come from, or inclinations, when you come from that world. It's really kind of it's kind of inherent. And this is why the series that I did on the history and effects of anti-Semitism is so important, because we have to understand these things. And once we understand them and recognize them, then we can deal with them. It's like the alcoholic. You can't deal with alcoholism until you admit that you've got a drinking problem. So when people say, well, I don't want to be a Jew, and they realize, golly, I don't want to be a Jew because I'm a little prejudiced. You know what? Mazel tov. That's your first step to getting free. It's like one of our members said that he had a buddy of his who was giving him a hard time about this way of life. And recently the friend, I think they went out and got something to eat or coffee or whatever. And the friend admitted, you know, I was just being racist. You know, kudos to that guy. That guy is a huge, courageous, I mean, he needs like a silver star or something. Because most people don't have the courage to admit that kind of stuff. And this goes, you could use this in every scenario. We know when we make mistakes and stuff. In our day and age, people have a real hard time saying, I'm sorry. I'm not sure what that's all about. But, you know, they make a mistake. They believed a lie. They made a bad choice. They didn't take your advice or whatever. And they walk down the road and realize they were wrong. People these days seemingly just have a hard time coming back and saying, you know, nah, I was wrong. I'm sorry. It's so simple, and it's so healing, and it's so liberating. But people have a hard time with that. But kudos to this guy who said, you know what? I was just being prejudiced. That's wonderful. That is a huge step to him getting set free. And when you and I realize that a lot of our theologies that we have that are really anti-Judaism, anti-Rabbinics, anti-Talmud, where does anti-Talmud comes from? People who hate the Talmud don't even, 99.9% of the time, they couldn't spell Talmud. They don't even know anything about it. They just know they hate it, and they know that it's evil. You know, that comes from the 1300s in France, from the church. I won't get into that history. It's part of the class. But that's where that comes from, because it's irrational. It doesn't make sense. How can you hate something you don't know anything about it? Whenever you have an irrational hatred, you know there's something wrong there, right? So anyway, point being is that when we are honest with ourselves and recognize, you know what, I don't want to be, why do I want to be a Jew? That doesn't make any sense at all. When we understand that, that's your first step to getting free. And that's the whole point, as I've said many times, about the Aliyah. It's not just about learning Torah. It's not just about following the Aliyah. It's about getting freedom so that we can truly live for God. And you know, really, that's really what Lapid Judaism is all about. Lapid Judaism is about bringing us back to what actual faith in Messiah looked like day one after the resurrection, not 400 years later in Rome. But what did it look like day one after the resurrection in Jerusalem? And the answer to that question is very Jewish. Hashtag Pharisee. And that, my friends, is about being liberated so that we can follow God without any hindrances. But anyway, I've waxed eloquently long enough. God bless you. Thank you so much for being a part of this. May you have a blessed, wonderful, and amazing day. Tomorrow's prep day. So we will get together tomorrow and we'll see what else we want to talk about. No promises. Love you guys. Shalom Aleichem. Look forward to seeing you then.